At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, everybody. This is DJ Q for the Golf News Net Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Glad to have you for another segment of the Jay's Place Show. I am Jay Fella, and you're listening to the Golf News Net Radio Network. Fantastic first section of the show with Jeff Brower coming in to talk a little bit about his golf course designs going on all over the country, and in particular in his home state of Texas. And he previewed the Western Conference of the NHL for us. Later on, Bruce Moulton's going to come on, and he's going to preview the Eastern Conference. And we'll probably talk a little bit more golf as well, but we got a bit of a surprise for you right now. An extra bonus special guest has decided to come on in and say hi. So let's have a warm taste, please. Welcome to Robert Trent Jones, Jr., who has decided to stop by for just a couple of minutes. Bobby, great to have you back on the show.
Good to be back, Jay. Good to talk to you.
Tell us, what have you been up to out in California?
Well, I attended the Fries.com championship yesterday, and just watched it. It's in a playoff, so we'll see what happens. But Silverado was my very first golf course that was opened in 1967, so it's kind of fun to go back.
And I understand also that you're going to be hosting another major, you know, fresh off hosting the U.S. Open this year up at Chambers Bay, your original design from, I think it was 2008. Now the Women's Open next year is going to go to Coeur d'Aval Resort. So tell us a little bit about Coeur d'Aval.
Well, Coeur d'Aval is a wonderful golf course in San Martin, California, near Gilroy, south of San Jose. It's in a deep valley, very golden hills. It's kind of the old California feel to it. And it's going to host the Women's Open Championship starting the week of next July 4th. Very patriotic time. And it'll be fun.
Now, when you say old California feel, that conjures up two different images in my mind. It could conjure up the old mission style and Parkland architecture of a place like, say, Ojai Valley. Or it could conjure up the old coastal Northern Carolina style of a place like, say, San Francisco Golf Club or Olympic or California Golf Club. Which did you mean? Or might there be a little fusion of both?
Well, I didn't have in mind as much detail as you did, but if you were to choose among them, I would say more like San Francisco Golf Club. Beautiful bunkering, a low valley. In the case of old California, what I meant was the gorgeous golden hills of California, which has been, you know, kind of suburbanized over the last 50 years. And it's by itself. Cougars walk around and hunt out the pheasants, and it's kind of fun. It's a very natural place.
Yeah, all of the pictures that we've seen of Coeur d'Aval, it looks remarkably beautiful, even for California, especially with the ravines and the gorges. Tell us a little bit about how the Open came to be there and the selection process.
Well, I really don't know. You know, the USGA acts in its own way of doing things, but they had a USGA event, junior event, China versus the United States, a couple years ago. They became aware of the quality of the course. They've had a senior women's Open championship there. And the feedback for both those events to the USGA was very good. There's a nice lodge on site. There's no housing. It's a core golf course. So, you know, the USGA is pure, and they want a pure experience for their national championships, and Coeur d'Aval is certainly that. It's also got a wide variety of holes, relatively easy walking golf course, and easy spectating course. So all good things for a national championship.
Now, you brought up a great point there about it being natural and about it being authentic. And that's the same type of feeling that I had when we were up at Chambers Bay for the U.S. Open, is that we were playing an authentic maritime links golf course. You know, there was a lot of hue and cry during the Open from some broadcasters and some players regarding, you know, what they considered to be, you know, poor conditioning of the greens because of the POA. But there was also a lot of hue and cry about, oh, it's not an authentic links, or it's too hilly for a links, or it's too tough a walk for a links, all of which have subsequently been debunked. You know, you throw out names like St. George's or Prestwick, you know, or Royal County Down or Royal Portrush. You know, while County Down is not a major championship venue, it's still as good as one. It may very well be one in the future, but all four of those courses are hilly. And, you know, they may not be as mountainous as portions of Chambers Bay, but the point being that we've debunked all of those myths. So what have you heard with regard to the possibility that the U.S. Open may come back to Chambers Bay in, say, 10-ish years?
Well, as you know, the USGA Men's Open Championship has been scheduled out 10 years already. They've announced three new venues up through 2024. So it'll be at least 10 years before they'll have another course to be announced in the future. My sense is that the USGA was very pleased with the results of the championship. And look, the leaderboard speaks for itself. You had the Player of the Year win it. You had the best players of the world rise to the cream of the top in the final, on the final Sunday, all in a great hunt, a compelling golf theater, lots of discussion. From what I heard, the television audience loved it. And so that's what the championship golf is all about. And in addition to that, the community was very responsible. They had all kinds of wonderful volunteers who helped out. They had sold out their tickets. They made a good amount of money from their merchandise. So from the USGA's point of view, it succeeded in every respect. From the players, you know, the players talk, and they have their, you know, all the winners were happy. So the winner was happy, and those in the hunt were happy. So as they got to know the course better, and they're all playing the same golf course, so conditioning is what they are faced with. I mean, consider how it was at the British Open or the Open. The weather was the thing they talked about. It's whatever's going on that week that the players talk about relative to the championship conditions. So I think that the USGA will very seriously consider it. From what I've heard, the state of Washington has already indicated their gratefulness for the USGA coming there, and the Pierce County, who owns the course, and others have indicated they would be more than happy to host another championship if the USGA so chooses to return.
There's plenty of room for the spectators. There's plenty of room for all of the infrastructure. It looks phenomenal, and it plays even better because it makes the golfer think their way around the golf course, in particular with regard to what happens to the ball after it lands. Now, let's jump into another point that you...
Jay, that's the fundamental point. There are no trees. There's one tree which is iconically beautiful. It's not in play. There are no water holes. There's Puget Sound, but it's not in play. So the defense of this golf course, besides length and width, is the ground itself. So it's not where the ball lands. It's where the ball ends up. And having to learn that is a little bit different from the day-to-day tour events, week to week and week in, week out, where, you know, a lot of guys are more like artillery officers where they fire away darts at the greens, and the ball stops where they expect it to. So that's unique in the game. And that's due to the fact that it's an authentic links turf. It's fescue grasses predominantly throughout the entire golf course, from tee through the green. And that was a little unique for the tour players, especially the Americans, to get used to. And that's why it was so fascinating, and why I think that I'm very proud of the design. We refined it. Mike Davis did a fabulous job at setup. He helped refine some of the holes for the tournament. You know, Mike likes to keep the players thinking, and we also like that. So I think it was a great championship.
In fact, it was a great year at all of the major championships because we had three true Lynx golf courses to play for each one of them. So, it, like you said, it was interesting on the Americans how well they adapted, but also it was terrific to see an American player do so well and become, he's also going to get my vote for Player of the Year, and that means Jordan Spieth. But we had St. Andrews this year, and we had Whistling Straits this year as well. So it was a good crop for the majors and an interesting crop.
True. And it was a wonderful year. I mean, this was a new year. This was the Darwinian kind of year, the survival of the fittest. And the older guys began to wane a bit, and the new young Tigers were catching up in their hunt. So I think it's a transition year for at the professional golf level.
Well, very much so. Okay, and since you brought it up, I guess we're going to have to take that Tiger by the tail and talk about it right now. You know, the big issue is note of the gays comments that there have been discussions that it is possible that Tiger may have played his last competitive round. You know, we don't know for certain. But we do know that the sun seems to be setting. You know, that was that moment at the PGA Championship where the question was asked, Tiger, have you lost a step? And essentially his answer was yes, that, you know, he's not going to dominate anymore, that he's going to have to chip away and play great for 4 days just to stay in the hunt and be in contention to have a chance on Sunday. He's not going to run away with it. And injury after injury after injury piling up on him means he's an old 40. You know, Jenkins says that when he hit 44, 45, the chances of winning more majors are slim and none. Tiger may be 40 years in age, but with the number of operations he's had on knee and back, you know, he's a lot more rickety and a lot more creaky. You know, what do you think and what have you heard is the prognosis for Woods for the spring?
Well, I haven't, I talked to Tiger at the U.S. Open, asked him a question, and he seemed very focused on golf architecture, the golf architecture of Chambers Bay. He responded to a question I asked him for about 5 minutes. You know, a lot of the questions that he's asked in the press room at most of the tournaments are fairly expected questions, and including how do you feel and what's going on and the kinds of things you just mentioned. But if his answer was more dedicated in thinking about golf design, that means his mind has shifted from offense to defense. That's the way I look at it. You know, golf architects, we're all golfers at one point. I mean, anybody who does championship golf courses has to understand what the ball can and cannot do when struck by experts. And he is now talking more like a goalkeeper than a striker, and if you were to use soccer terms or football terms. So
I get the metaphor, yes.
Yeah, I think his mind is shifting in terms of his interests. He's, of course, one of the great champions of all time, dominant for a long time. Unusual, and it's not easy to be dominant in golf. It's much easier to be dominant in something like tennis, where it's more predictable. But golf, you've got an awful lot of good players out there, and you have the vicissitudes of the game, the weather, and many other
things. And different golf courses as well. You know, it's not like you're going to play the same tennis course every time, sure. So
exactly. So it's not as predictable. But Tiger dominated for a long time by just simple willpower as well as great skill and focus. So I don't know. Some of these predictions are the commentators and reporters who I'm sure may have much more knowledge who are closer to him than I am.
Well, you know, the fact that it was Nota Begay that came out and said it, you know, that Tiger is basically facing his own mortality. You know, they kept saying that one of these days he was going to hit the chamber with a bullet in it, either with the ankle or the knee, you know, or the back. It's just so many injuries, you know, over the span of the career, so many operations. You know, and it's difficult as a journalist who's covered him for 11 years, you know, that as much as some of us said we saw the signs, you know, to finally hear coming from, you know, and you can consider Begay Tiger's camp, you know, because he is such a close friend and confidant, you know, to hear it finally from that side, you know, if it's not the end, it could possibly be the beginning of the end. we will know more at the Masters, okay? I will make this one prediction, that Tiger will play the best of the majors at the Masters, as he tends to do, because he plays Augusta so well, he knows it so well, there's such a comfort zone for him there. You know, year in and year out, you'll find that's usually his best performance.
As you know, Jay, the Masters is technically not a championship. It's an invitational.
Right. It is the championship of nothing other than Augusta National Invitational. Exactly. That is correct.
Right. So the point is, it's an invitational of who? Masters of the game. And Bobby Jones and Clifford Roberts, who started the tournament, wanted guys who are already proven, like Tommy Armour and obviously Bobby Jones himself and Gene Sarazen at that era, who had already proven themselves to come have a fun time in Augusta, Georgia, somewhere, after the baseball warm-up season, before baseball started, and that's how it all started. So in that tradition, it's a glorious tournament and one of profound beauty and so on. It is really actually set up for people like Tiger Woods, who've already proven themselves to be always there. I mean, you've got Jack Nicklaus playing until he was about 60, and Hogan came back and played and well past his prime. So I think he'll always do well at Augusta, and he'll play.
Now, one more question before we go to break that I wanted to get into as well. We talked about what a terrific crop of major championship courses we had this year, but we've also got a terrific crop of major championship courses next year as well. Oakmont, Royal Troon, and Baltusrol. Tell us a little bit about each of those.
Well, I grew up in New Jersey and played Baltusrol many times. It's one of Tillinghast's best golf courses. There are two courses there that are very good. The lower course where they'll play the championship is a traditional one, just like the West course at Wingfoot is the one they play the Open Championship. And it's got a long history. Unlike this year, where they had a new course at Oakmont, they've got a course which I think has held six U.S. Opens. So they've got a lot of tape in the memory bank of histories to show as a warm-up of other championships on that course. From what I hear, Oakmont will be, you know, it's always been known for super fast and interesting greens and other factors. And it's a very, very traditional but difficult course. The USGA always chooses a difficult golf course for our national championship. And I think it's why you notice that Chambers Bay, 5 under par, won the major there, whereas the other courses was either 18, 19, or 20 under par. Which won the other major championships. So that's our national championship, and I think that's the way it should be. And Oakmont will, of course, produce a great champion, as it has in the past, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute.
This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.